Welcome to Spilling Realty, where the realty is piping hot. We are here with a special edition today because our friend Kendall is a sleuth and has us into a catfishing, scamming situation she would like to talk about. Hi, Kendall.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Just wanted to say hi before we get into this next part. Before we start, we did want to give a disclaimer. We would like to disclose that this story is a part of an ongoing investigation involving multiple states and local jurisdictions. We have been granted permission to share this story. However, names of involved parties have been omitted or changed. If you or anyone you know has been a victim of fraud, please report it to your local authorities. So we just wanted to say that before we jumped in and just talk about the severity and kind of the nature of this story. So welcome. Here we are. Kendall, just give me a little background on how you came to figure this out. And we're going to call the victim of this here Morgan, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. So we're going to call, that's not her real name. We're going to call her Morgan though, just for her to protect her identity.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk about this today because we are combining our two favorite topics, like true crime and real estate. And what we're going to talk about today are rental scams in the real estate world. It is becoming a major issue. It's becoming more common, like especially as these schemes get more and more elaborate. And Morgan is somebody that I know, and this was brought to my attention a few months ago because she had said, hey, I don't know like how familiar or how often you work with rentals, but would you mind just like looking into my lease? And I kind of want to like tell you what's going on with my landlord. Like things are not adding up.
Right. Yeah. It seems like this is more elaborate than things I've seen. Like, I think when you first told me, I was like, oh my gosh, this happens on Craigslist all the time. Like people take other people's listings that they're for sale and put them up for rent. But you're like, no, this is so much further than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my exact words were, is Craigslist still a thing?
It is. It's still out there. And actually I found a townhouse off Craigslist once and it wasn't a scam. So my disclaimer for Craigslist is just always be careful. Some of them aren't scams and it can actually lead to a great house to live in like temporarily. But anyway, yeah. That's beside the point. Let's talk about, so your client calls you, Morgan calls you, and what transpires?
Basically, she said, hey, I'm having an issue with my landlord. I just had recently signed a lease like a few months and he's trying to raise the rent by like $500, $700. And I said, well, I'm not a lawyer, but I said, I don't know if you can do that midway through a lease unless it's month to month. Like what else? And then she was like, well, every time I try to send my payment, he has a new name or a new handle for Cash App or Venmo. And I was like, what?
That's the red flags really start going up.
Yeah. And so she said, I said, you know what? Like, send me a copy of your lease. Let me look at it. And then I'd be more than happy to like advise you on how to move forward. But I highly doubt this is a real lease. And then I said, like, send me the address where you live. So she sent me the address. She sent me the lease. First of all, I've seen a lot of fake leases, but this is by far one of the worst that I've ever seen. I'm talking about grammar, spelling. He didn't even have her name spelled right.
So not even like, so the most illegit thing you've seen.
Yeah.
You did a lot of rentals at the beginning of your career. So,
oh yeah, that's all I did. I was like a rental queen.
Yeah. You were the rental queen. You know exactly what you're looking at. So you knew something was up.
Well, that, and so, you know, I was reading through it and then at one point in the lease, he says, landlord shall not raise rent until the end of the term, but then there was no term. I mean, I don't really need to get into the nitty gritty, but I mean, this was bad. And so then I looked up the property on Bright MLS, which is what our state of Maryland uses for realtors.
Yep.
And the property was listed by a very big national like property management company a lot more than what she was paying. And then I looked up like on property records, like the owner, like the deed, the title, and the names didn't match up.
Okay. So when you found, okay, so when you found the property management company, were they also trying to lease it at that time or?
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't, and it was a lease. It was a lease listing. It wasn't for sale. Cause that's.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's what I was familiar with back when, you know, I would see scams. It's like, it was like the house was actually for sale and on like a residential sale part of the MLS.
And no, this was like on the lease part and it was for a significant amount less. So once I found that, I was like, hold on. And then, like I said, I pulled up the deed and the title and the quote unquote landlord has no affiliation whatsoever with this company or ownership of the house.
So he has no affiliation with the property management company.
None, because I did a check, I made my rounds, I did a call, and I didn't like alarm Morgan at this time, but I knew what was going on, but I just didn't think it was appropriate to freak her out.
Right.
But I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is actually really bad." So then I started digging a little bit more with Morgan and I said, well, how did you find this place? And she's like, oh, it was like a Facebook market ad. And I said, well, do you still have it? Can you send me a screenshot? And she did. But then now we can't find this quote unquote landlord anywhere on social media. And he had been using a fake email and been changing stuff. Like, it's just a lot of whole, like, it was just like very elaborate. And, you know, there's just, it's really hard to find this person, put it that way.
So my question here is, okay, this is kind of where I think I was baffled when I first heard this story, even up until like last night. I was like, I'm not connecting the dots quite yet. So basically she finds this house on Facebook Marketplace. There's a property management company who actually has it listed on the MLS. How did she have access to this house and how did she get in this house? How was this guy able to get her into this house?
So great question. And this is like the whole key to the story is this particular property management company uses self-showing lockboxes. So that means that all you have to do is go on this website called Rently.com. You can download the code for these vacant homes and people can see it without a landlord, owner, agent, property manager. You can unlock the house and see it.
Okay. So how did he have access to the house, or was he involved with the property management company to some degree?
So he never had access to the house. He specifically targets this company who rents out properties all throughout the country, which are always vacant. And he knows that nobody's there. And he knows all you have to do is download the lockbox code off of Rently.com.
So, okay. So is there no key involved? Like, there's no key to get in the house, or is it just literally like a pad?
No, there is. It's like a sentry box.
Okay. So how does he get the key? Does he just put on new locks when they're not looking?
No, you go online to get the code to the lockbox and then the keys are in there.
So the property management company already has this in place.
Yeah.
And okay. That's what I was missing. I'm like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry. It's still so confusing to me as we continue to like reveal more.
No, it makes sense now that you said that. I was missing that gap. I was like, I'm so confused where these two connect. Like, is the property management company in cahoots with this guy?
No. So this property management company is known for these self-showings because they don't want to pay realtors a commission for rentals.
That's crazy. Like, so I know of a company, like a big real estate company who does this because I used to work for them. I'll leave their name out. But it's not for rentals and it's definitely not a scam. Like, they just have houses in their name now because they renovate houses and then sell them. And they have the same sort of thing. And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like they could do the same thing. Like a scammer could get a hold of their properties too.
Well, and here's the kicker is that this company doesn't own these properties. So these are owned by real people, like not a company. And it's really, honestly, pretty irresponsible that they continue to allow this, because this whole fraud and this whole scheme is across multiple states for just their properties. Like, scammers have figured out how to get around this because they're vacant and self-showing.
Right. So where are the property owners? They just don't live there and they never stop by?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they hope. So yeah,
pretty much it's just self-showing. And this company really promotes and advertises like, we'll make it really easy. One-stop shop. Anybody can do it. And then they really push the fact like, oh, you don't have to pay a realtor 50% of the rental for commission. Like, we're saving you money.
Saving you money. This is like a haven for scammers.
Oh my God, it's insane.
So I want to jump back into Morgan's specific story now that we kind of have groundwork and it makes sense. Cause I know that you had mentioned to me that usually like they don't ever end up moving in or they're in there for a month. Explain what happens next. Cause this is just mind blowing.
So just a little 2 second backstory with these typical scams, these quote unquote landlords typically charge a fee to see the house, right? This was not the case. Yeah. So she actually saw the house. She had talked to this person online or on the phone, excuse me, had been coordinating like via text message. And then as soon as she said, okay, I like it, he was like, great, I'll send the lease. And that's when you can wire me the money, like via Cash App, Venmo, whatever.
Another red flag.
But a lot of landlords accept Venmo or PayPal these days.
Yeah. I mean,
Cash App is what got me.
Yeah. Cause usually like it's PayPal or like, I don't know, or they have an account that it's wired to.
Usually there's a tenant portal. Honestly, there's always a tenant portal.
Yeah. Like the house I rented, like the townhouse I rented and found on Craigslist, it was through an actual legit company. They had a portal. Like when you rent a place, like an apartment, like you have a portal you go to and you pay all these things and you know it's legit.
Well, even private landlords, because I have several clients who are private landlords, they pay the money to have a client portal, you know, so that everything is tracked, the security deposit. But anyways, so she got the place, moved in, and my first question was, well, did he ever come and pick up the lockbox? And she's like, no. She's like, I cut one off in the backyard that didn't have keys, but the big one, like the Bluetooth lockbox, has stayed on the front door.
And she actually moved in. Like, that's what gets me.
Yes, moved in with her kids.
Usually they take the money and run and like ghost you. She moves in.
Right. Fast forward a few months, she calls me and she's like, oh my God, I just got a court summons on my door for wrongful detainer. And I was like, oh,
crap. What? So essentially a wrongful detainer, that means that she's essentially
a squatter.
And she's not, I mean, she's clearly not, because she had she's the victim in this story, but she's essentially a squatter.
Yeah.
So how did they find out she was there?
So they found out because the other thing she had told me was that these people kept coming into her house unannounced. Now, least in Maryland, you have to give notice from the landlord or whoever's doing work that people are coming into the property. You can't just like barge in. Well, these like inspectors and repair people, like for the actual property management company, obviously had access to the Bluetooth and were coming in just without notice. And it was supposed to be vacant. And then, hi, there's this woman and her family.
Were they there to do work or like?
They, from what I've gathered from talking to various people, they were there to do work, because the other thing is this property wasn't registered within its local jurisdiction to be a rental company. Mm-hmm. So when you do rent out a property, you have to abide by certain rules and various inspections to get a rental license.
Yeah. So were they still, so the property management company, I guess, was still in that process.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they were still doing that in that process when this guy, the scammer, is just okay. Like, he obviously doesn't care about the process. He just wants this. He just wants to scam some people for money. So
yeah.
Okay. What the hell?
Like, it gets weirder. So, I mean, yeah. And the thing is I think, like, in the back of my head, I kind of think that he, like, stole some realtor's identity, something, and has access to MLS, because in the original listing by this property management company, it wasn't going to be available for a few months. So he, like, knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You can tell there's experience here. It's not the first rodeo. I mean, to get to the point that he's at, you have to have experience, right? Like, it's so much more elaborate. I mean, even to pull that off, like, to pull that off on one property, let alone, like, in multiple states and jurisdictions.
Yeah. So I, like, when I can't sleep at night, like most people, scroll on Facebook, I like to sleuth, because I always say this, I think I was meant to be a private investigator. And so I started to get really just, like, upset about this whole situation. I know people are going to sit here and say, oh, she should have done her due diligence. But no, like, just hang on, because there's a lot more involved. This is incredibly elaborate. And so I asked her for the landlord's number, and I sent him a text.
Of course you did.
I sent him a text for pretending to be a renter. I never said my name, what I was looking for, what my budget was. I just said, hey, you got any properties? And this person responds back and is like, hey, I'll tell you what's great. I'm going to give you a deal, $1,000 for this property. And I'm like, what the hell? So of course I go back on
thinking about you, like, not nothing. Your budget.
Didn't ask if I had pets, nothing.
Right. And that's, like, one of those things people are going to ask, like, hey, we need to know what your credit is. Like, we need to run a credit background check. Like, we need to run other background checks. How many pets do you have?
Where are you looking?
Yeah. Where are you looking? How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? Like, these are all essential questions when you're looking for a home, whether you rent or lease, buy rather.
Or, you know, what state do you live in?
Right. That might help in this scenario. No. And that's another red flag. Like, didn't even care. No.
It was so bizarre. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to, like, see where this goes. So he sends me this address. And of course I go right back to Bright MLS, and it's listed by the same property management company that Morgan thought she was renting to.
I wonder if, like, the property management company has any clue this is going on.
I think they're starting to, because they've changed. They've put a big disclaimer at the top of every listing, being like, we do not advertise on Facebook Market, any social platforms, any other sites, blah, blah, blah. And they never used to do that. But so I look at it, and, you know, this scammer is telling me I can rent this place for $1,000, move in immediately.
Wait. And how big was the house? Like, how many bedrooms and bathrooms? Did you ever get to that?
Yeah. Well, I saw it online. It was 3 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, and actually listed for $1,850. But he told me I could get a deal.
$1,000. That's, guys, in this market, rent is going up. If you see $1,000, I mean, at least in our market and where we are, if you see that, oh my gosh, that is the reddest flag you're ever going to see. Like, houses are not going for that cheap around here. The rent has been spiking, and it's no.
Well, I also think the average person, I mean, we're real estate agents,
we're
going to cross check and, like, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's, but the average person won't know this.
No, they don't know. Like, you know how many rental clients I've had that have been like, I want to live in, like, Eldersburg, Maryland. I only want to spend $1,200 a month. And I'm like, you're not living in Eldersburg, Maryland for that cost. And they're like, well, what about Westminster? I'm like, no, what about the city? Maybe, like, in some areas, but, like, it's, you know, rent is not cheap in our state.
Well, and that's like also why I think this is a very elaborate scheme, because he only shaves off a few hundred dollars. So it's not totally unrealistic. But
that adds up.
It does. But I mean, I don't know. I think with this market and now with these rates and it being very challenging to buy, and then there's such low inventory, I don't know. I just don't think that people just connect the dots, and I wouldn't expect them to. I mean, honest to God, I don't think I would either if I was in real estate. I don't think I'd be like, shit, okay, a deal, cool. Right. Like, let me jump. I need a place to live. Like, boom, let me go. Like,
right. Like, you're panicking. You're trying to find a house and
yeah,
taking advantage of people who are in a situation where they just feel like this Morgan, you know, she had children. She probably just was like, oh my gosh, I need a place. This is great. Cool.
Yeah. Done.
Like, and then these people are telling her that she's a squatter, and she's like, what? No, I'm not.
Well, and like the other thing too, like, I mean, this is a little irrelevant, but I think it's kind of important for people to understand, like, for the last year and a half, a lot of people that were living in rentals suddenly had to up and move because the owners decided to sell, because it was a great time to sell, and they were going to make more money. And so I think that also, like, I think the market plays like a huge factor in this. And it's not just some person falling victim to like a scheme or not being like well versed with schemes, like blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it just goes a lot deeper to that. And I think that's really important to mention.
So let's get back to Morgan. Where does she stand right now? How much money did she lose? Like, how long was she in this place before she realized that it was a scam? Like, before, like, you know, people were like, oh, excuse me, you don't belong here.
So she was there for a few months. She's out of pocket about $8,000.
Oh my gosh.
And she went to court, and, you know, I told her, I said, the first thing you have to do is call that attorney and see if you can work something out. Like, you really don't want to go to court right now. And I
said, again, Kendall's not a lawyer. She was just telling her what she should do best, because she can't advise her on a court.
No. And then I said, go to legal aid. Right. It's 24 hours. They have a hotline, like, call them. So basically what we learned, and I called the attorney as well, because I'm nosy. And this particular scammer is targeting this big company because he knows they're vacant, and most people don't have a few months. They usually are getting evicted within a month after being there, but they can't find him because nobody really knows who the heck he is.
Oh my gosh.
And so the other thing is, Morgan did some sleuthing herself and decided to tell the landlord, or quote unquote landlord,
right,
that this, like, a certain rent for that month was going to be sent via like a money order or a cashier's check. And this scammer sent three different addresses in three different states. And it turns out that two of the people for two of the addresses are dead. Yeah.
That's,
so
I mean, I see that's crazy, but I've seen other things in life where people turn up dead. I won't go into that. But
well, no, I think he's smart. I think he targets addresses for forwarding reasons, and that's how
absolutely
they can't find him.
Right. Well, it's like I told you on the phone earlier, a completely other thing, where drug dealers used to just send their drug supplies to a foreclosure. Like, and of course they did. Of course that makes sense, because then they just have someone run and get it. Like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, let's just point out, this is completely unrelated, but that's just like showing how far people go these days, and how vacant homes or homes of deceased people can be used, or foreclosures or short sales, because people aren't checking the mail every day. Right. So
exactly,
run by, get this money, or have a runner. Like, I'm sure it's not a one man band. I don't know. Maybe it is, but in this case, it doesn't sound like it's a one man band.
But it's such an elaborate scheme, and you know, I feel so bad. I mean, honestly, like, Morgan stayed longer than she should. But then I did a little bit more research too, and I found articles within the last few months of this happening in New Jersey, Alabama, and Texas.
What?
By the alleged same scammer involving the same property management company. And it's just horrible because these people, like, again, so many homes in the last year and a half that were for rent have all of a sudden been going for sale. And people are like in...
People are panicking. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, so I guess, you know, and they don't know, like, we understand when something doesn't look right. So I'm really glad that she did reach out to you, only because if she didn't, like, God knows what would have happened. At least you were able to, like, it, like, send her to legal aid and they were able to help her out a little bit. And she was what, awarded 60 days to move out and no rent due. So they did actually hold some mercy on her and were like, holy crap. Like, this is crazy.
Well, and she had an overwhelming amount of evidence. Like, she did not know. And I don't care if anybody sits here and is like, Cash App, red flag. Like, no, this is so much deeper than that. And right. This guy has, like, a Maryland number that is from a landline. And he obviously does talk to text. And, you know, we'll throw up some blacked out or blurred out, like, screenshots and some stuff so you all can see. But it's just a very elaborate scheme. And again, I think if you're not in real estate, I think it'd be really hard to figure this out.
Oh my gosh. So are you now helping her find a new rental?
No. So she's actually in a great position to buy.
Oh, yay.
And we're doing that instead. And, you know, her family is helping. And yeah, because it's just a little bit scary. And, like, the other thing too is, like, I would be terrified if I had people I didn't know somehow coming into my house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible. That, I mean, yeah. I mean, she has children. I mean, it's terrifying, you know, any way you look at it, but it's even more terrifying knowing you have children and wondering, oh, are these people going to show up at my house? Like, that's,
and
that's,
for what that's, reason? Like, it's so weird.
Like, it's so discomforting. Like, it's just such an exploitation of a person's, like, privacy. I feel like here, like, anyone can get into your house at any time and there's nothing you can do about it because you got wrapped up in a scam. So I am glad that she was able to figure that out before it got worse. And I'm glad that she, you know, has you now to, you know, hopefully find her a house. And, you know, hopefully there will be a happy ending here. So definitely keep us posted on, you know, what happens with her, because I mean, this, I think it just sheds light that, like, scammers are alive and well. They've gotten sneakier. And, it, you know, I think we all sit there and we think, oh, no scammer is going to catch me. No scammer is going to catch me. I can outsmart people. Not always. Like, they are getting across the board more, like, they're just getting smarter and smarter. And with technology, it's getting easier and easier.
Scary. I think with modern technology and being able to do every single thing on your phone,
right?
I wouldn't even think twice about it, honestly.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think twice. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't think twice. Like, I would just probably show up and be like, okay, this makes sense. Like, I might be like, that's weird that, like, the landlord didn't want to meet them. But, like, I can tell you, like, there's people that I know who have rental properties, like, oh, like, I can't meet you today, but here's the code to get in. And this is their rental properties, not somebody else's listing. Let me, like, specify that before anyone goes up in arms. It's their own rental property. They are the owner of this rental property and they have given the codes to people. Yeah. So that makes sense.
We have so many disclaimers so people don't freak out. With how fast and how much, like, technology has evolved, I mean, look at it. You put your credit card in for Uber and you better hope that someone picks you up or Uber Eats or Postmates.
Right.
So
right.
It would make sense why these self-showing properties are growing, because it's convenience and instant gratification. You don't have to work around, like, a landlord schedule. It's like, oh, just show and go. Boom. But on the flip side, then you really have to try to do your due diligence. And, like, the other thing is they've become so much more elaborate because these people that are these scammers, catfishers, whatever, on Facebook are creating these legitimate profiles with thousands of friends. So of course it seems legit. You know, it's not like somebody that has five friends and is weird and in another country.
So
like, it's so much time. Who has that much time?
Not me, but maybe we do now. Maybe we pitch it to MTV, be like, look, we are your new catfish catchers.
So bizarre.
You'll see Kendall and I hiking out in hotels in like Montana, catching people, showing up to their houses and being like, so why'd you do it? Do you want to meet the person you catfished? Why'd you do it?
So not only are we real estate agents, but we are podcasters and we are sleuths. Like, bring it on. There's nothing we can't do.
There is. So, I mean, do you have, I mean, I think before we wrap this up, are there any like details from this case we need to know? And then I do want to give a statistic if you don't have anything else.
I just want to say, like, be very careful because the Facebook market scams and these scammers are hijacking Zillow and Realtor.com and Redfin.com.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Like, yeah, because Redfin does rentals now. They didn't for a long time, but they do rentals now. So,
and they're copying these watermarked pictures and from Bright MLS or the companies and then creating duplicate sites. So it's really hard to tell.
It's not hard to duplicate a picture. You just save it to your laptop. Like,
but to duplicate a site, I mean, that's a little scary. Duplicate a site
now that, yeah, I mean, I would never be able to do it because I don't know technology like from a hole in the ground. But
well, damn it, Ashley.
So there goes our scammer. Thank God. Side hustle. Our side hustle's gone. Just kidding. Oh my gosh. But so Kendall was talking to me about this statistic from the FBI, which it's alarming. And I think it's a really good note to kind of wrap up on. In 2021, last year, and in case you're not keeping track of what year it is, 11,578 people reported losing $350,003,2866. Did I say that right? Because that's a big number. I am not good with numbers.
It's so in the millions.
Essentially, and that just... it's 300. It's over 350 million due to these types of scams, which that's a 64% increase from the previous year.
Yeah. And it just goes much deeper than what people think. And it's like a whole game of cat and mouse trying to catch these people. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, Spilling Realty is coming for you now, buddy. Spilling Realty on it.
we are on to you.
I just want to say thank you for doing all this research and kind of uncovering this. I know it kind of just you fell into it, but I guess, you know, it never had to go this far. And like we said last Thursday, one shockingly true story from the field, like a 5-minute blurb, wasn't going to do this justice. We wanted to dive deep and show how far this has gotten, and it's a nationwide thing. So seriously, thank you so much for explaining.
Well, and it's also really sad. There is sad. Like obviously a happy ending, but it is really sad because this is just a new way to prey on people, especially with inventory being so low, mortgage rates being so high. So just always do your due diligence because it's sad. I mean, yeah, there's like a happy ending with this, but that doesn't happen for most people, especially with this particular scammer involved. And just like, don't be afraid to ask for help or just do your research. I don't know. Go do background checks on people. Like,
call a realtor, damn it.
And, you know, I mean, I'm the rental. Well, I was the rental queen, but I still understand like what tenants' rights are. And if worst case scenario, every state, every local jurisdiction has legal aid that is always available to answer questions. Go ahead and call these attorneys who are working for legal aid, and they're more than happy to give you advice as well. It's a great free resource.
Right. So I think, I mean, that's about it, I think, at least for me. But again, thank you for sharing that. And of course, we'll be back on Thursday at 12 p.m. And we will have Jack Hinder with First Home with us. So you're not going to want to miss that. We got a lot of fun stuff on him. So we'll be taking a fun turn on Thursday instead of such a true crime, serious nature. But we just felt this was so important. I can't wait for Jack to come on and talk about one of his I'm going to call it a fetish for lack of better terms.
Thursday is really fun.
Thursday is going to be fun. This was your serious podcast, I guess, for the month. I don't know how often we'll be on here twice a week right now, I guess, when things like this happen. So I guess, yeah, thank you guys for tuning into our special episode. I'm so glad we got to shed some light on such a serious issue. And of course, thank you for listening to Spilling Real Tea. We will see you on Thursday. 1, 2.